Magandang umaga mga kababayan, magandang umaga sa lahat ng mga nakikinig dito sa atin sa SBS Filipino. At isang special na topic ang ating hatid sa inyo, lalong-lalo na para sa mga mahilig kumain, mga laging gutom, at mahilig mag-explore ng kung ano-anong ingredients na sariling atin. Dahil this time, special, ube ang ating usapan. Ube, hindi lang ito basta kulay, kundi ang paborito ninyong purple yam. At makakasama po natin dito sa studio, dalawa ang aking special na bisita at sila ay mula sa 7,000 Islands. Sila po yung ating makakasama para magbahagi sa atin ng tungkol sa ilan sa mga produkto na mayroon sila. Aside from that, syempre, itong usapin natin tungkol sa ube. So let's welcome Siegfried Bacani and Don Valex. Magandang umaga sa inyo.
Hello, how's it going?
Maraming salamat.
And we all know, most of our kababayans, the Filipinos, are very familiar with the ube. But could you give us a brief overview of what ube is for those who might not be familiar with it? Sige.
Sure. I'm very passionate about this one because when I'm trying to explain ube to a wider Australian community, I never start off with the ingredient, right? Because it's an expression. Our gastronomy expresses ube quite differently, and I always describe it in terms of taste. And the closest description that I found that connects with the Australian community is that it's a very earthy, subtly sweet kind of vanilla, right? And for them, I met a gentleman in Canberra who described it like his grandma's shortbread cake. And if you remember our interview, I don't know, it's down to the food library. Yes. Of my food library of experiences is quite different to what white Australians have tasted. So, and I always like to call it as ube from the Philippines, made by Filipinos as well. Yeah.
So there is always that parang surname of ube that connected always with the Filipinos and the Philippines.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because we're the only ones that really express ube in this way. Yes. And our soil in the Philippines, of a volcanic soil, is quite different.
Right.
I actually tried to bring a physical ube out of the country.
Bawal, yeah.
How was it?
It was bawal, yeah. Aww. So I was even trying to get letters of support from the Philippine government to because I wanted to show the local Australians what ube looks like. Because its comparisons to yam or taro, I think, is too simplistic.
Right.
And it's actually perhaps dumbing down what is truly a uniquely Filipino product like ube. Yeah.
That's right. So I know you've tried taro before, pero pwede ba natin ma-describe the difference to those who doesn't really know what ube is? How about you, Don? Ano yung mga nakita mong difference ng taro to ube?
Definitely the color is the first one that you see. Again, striking color of purple.
Yeah.
And like Siggy was mentioning, it's something that is only grown in the Philippines, right? And something that is inherently from the Philippines. Taro, they use it in, I guess, bubble tea flavors. And,
right.
And it's really interesting that...
Boba.
Yeah, boba.
Boba.
For all of the for all of the Americans out there, the North Americans. But it's really interesting that when you get a taro milk tea or a bubble tea, what color is it? It's purple. The way that it's kind of expressed in different cuisines, I guess Pacific Islanders, it's more of a savory taste. Whereas ube, like Siggy was mentioning, the Filipinos, we use it in desserts.
Yes, you know, it's sweeter.
It's sweeter.
Yeah. Sweeter, yeah.
And I think it naturally has its own, has sweeter notes than taro does. So
I remember going shopping in our Polynesian Pacifica stores to find taro to cook for sinigang.
Yeah.
Say for example.
Yeah.
Right? And that taro does not taste like ube.
Yeah.
Right.
It's more like a potato.
Exactly.
Right? Which is sort of the natural logical progression when I'm describing it to our Aussie brothers and sisters. It's like, oh, it's like a potato. Not really. It's a root vegetable that you get from the ground or the earth. But that's about where the similarities end, really, because it tastes differently and it's made into a product differently by Filipinos.
Yeah, and it's more vibrant. I mean, the purple yam is really like darker.
Blindingly purple.
Purple, vibrant purple interior. And in one of the vlogs or food vlogs about Kapwa Gardens that I've checked, they're talking about the taro and ube. And they describe taro as earthy, nutty flavor versus the sweetness. Yeah, the yum-like exterior and sweetness in flavor of ube. So I think we can say that there's really a big, big difference when it comes to flavor or to the taste.
Big difference. These two.
Yeah.
I think it's really unfair to call ube a taro.
Right.
Similar to, you know, in the wine world, if a sparkling from champagne is called champagne, it's not called a Prosecco, it's not called sparkling. And similar with cheese, if it's from Greece, it's a feta. So for us as Filipinos, let's be proud and call it ube.
Yeah.
Yes.
And not sort of try and connect with the other audience by saying it's like taro or a yam. Just to simplify it. They need to understand that it is uniquely Filipino and it's Philippine ube.
And I guess ube is also something that you can pair with many other ingredients.
Yummy. Yeah, I can just salivating thinking about it.
I think even closer to it, because in the Western society, we've had sweet potato.
Yes.
And sweet potato is, I know in American cuisine, they do sweet potato pie or something like that, and that would be the closest. But
is that like kumara?
I think so. I'm not sure, but that's what I would use to kind of compare with ube. But I completely agree with you that it needs to be. Let's be proud of it in calling it ube because it's strikingly different in color, and the taste is different from taro, from sweet potato.
Yeah, my favorite is mixing it in with makapuno, coconut.
Mm.
With queso, with ice cream.
Yum. Yes, the classic flavors.
Classic.
Yeah. But for someone new to ube, what dish or product would you recommend to try first?
Ooh, that's a hard one. You go for it, man.
I'm a simple man. Halo halo is my favorite.
Ooh.
Having ube in halo halo. Because that kind of just... I feel it feels like Christmas in a cup for me when I think of halo halo.
Yep.
And adding it in Christmas in the sense that you're surrounded by your family, you're surrounded by your friends, and there's a parang fiesta. You're just so much food and there's so many different flavors. And the ube in the halo halo just adds to it and it makes it complete and doesn't clash with it at all.
Right. The creaminess blends all the flavors together.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite, Edinal?
Oh, my favorite is the classic ube halaya. So that's the jam. Where you use as a spread, or you can just eat it on its own. It's just heavenly for me. That's what I really like. How about you, Siggy?
Yeah, my favorite is when it's being made.
Yeah.
Ooh. So I remember sitting with my mom, with my Lola at the kitchen table, and how long it takes to make. And for us, that's what makes our ube taste quite different. Like it's almost properly, it's like almost a couple of days, isn't it?
Yes. Mm.
If you're in the provinces. But sitting there and they would ask me as a kid to turn it and my arms are getting tired. But the reward is I get to stick my finger in and get a taste.
Get the first taste of it. Yeah, and I also remember because my Lolo used to plant some back in Mindoro. And we
How do you plant it?
It's just like a vine, you know, the kamote.
Yes.
But it grows really, really big. I mean, the vines also grows upwards. I don't know, but that's...
Because I've only ever seen the actual ube at the grocery store or from the market. So I actually haven't seen
It's massive. And you can get like a kilo or more for just one head of ube.
Do you have one planted here in...
Unfortunately, I don't know where to plant it either. It's so hard to bring one ube plant here, but hopefully we could show the Australians how ube is planted, what it looks like, how do we harvest ube. But talking about
harvesting. It's almost like truffles, really.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's been great to see the process. But Do you guys know which area in the Philippines has the most ube products or plantation?
I don't know this fun fact.
I think it's Bohol, isn't it? Yeah, I'm not sure. I know they planted in Pampanga, mm-hmm. but where my family's from, but
It's scattered all over the Philippines, but you're correct. It's Bohol. Bohol is the top ube-producing province in the Philippines. They have 35% of the country's overall production since 2019.
Wow, that's massive. And so that's really interesting because I only know about that because the ube from this ube cream liqueur is from Bohol.
Wow.
Right? And so
right from the source.
From the source, yeah. And it's really celebrating the best of the best. You know, it's also got coconut husk from Mindanao and sugarcane, noble cane from Negros. But I know that Bohol is the spot somehow for ube. Yeah,
they say that it can be planted anywhere in the Philippines. Pero they also have a lot of varieties, different kinds of ube. And then the top
three... How many
three,
different kinds are there?
I'm not sure how many, but the top three, based on my research, is the Basco ube. So this has the...
Basco.
So white purplish tinge. I think it's lighter than the actual ube. The Zambales ube has the purple cortex. And the Leyte ube has a little cream pink cortex with white flesh. So Basco, Zambales, and Leyte. And then the really purple one, that's what we have in Bohol. So there's really a lot of... Wow. Purple yum.
Yeah, it's like tomatoes for Italians, yes. Right? There's all different kinds. Or in Philippines, like my mom was telling me before, there's so many different mangoes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's buffalo mango, there's champagne mango, yes. There's this mango. Our mangoes are different from Indian mangoes. So that's really fascinating, actually.
Yeah, it probably depends on ubes. Where it's planted and like altitude and all of these. What other nutrients are in the soil that would
could
be really
be,
cool.
Yeah, right. And then,
it's a good thing we're going over there to find out.
Right. And that's amazing that we can share a lot of ube to our audience, especially the Australians listening to our podcast or to this conversation. Mm-hmm. If you're wondering what ube is, we're sharing more about ube to you. But right now, I know nakabisita ka na before and introduced ka na namin before as part of the 7,000 islands para sa iyong mga liquors dun sa ginawa natin na pairing, wine pairing, if you could remember.
That's correct. Yes.
The conversation
My
before.
Passion.
Yes. Yes, your passion. But this time, this is gonna be a little different because hindi lang wine ang meron kayo ngayon and you also have a different kind of a product na ini-introduce sa market.
That's right. We've got ube cream liqueur, which is just launched this year in September. Proudly made in the Philippines by some Filipinos and some Australians out of Malay Aklan. And actually, I don't know, there was something that you said was really interesting was because wine, the concept of wine in Philippines is actually broad. It's wine and spirits.
Mm-hmm.
But here in Australia, wine is separate from spirits, which is something that I had to get used to when we were talking about this as in the Philippines, it's referred to as a wine. But here for us, it's a spirit.
Ikaw naman, Don. I know it's amazing, pero how did you find it? I mean, having the ube liquor in the selection.
I think it's really interesting and it's really exciting to have something that is very Filipino. Purple is a really, really striking color. And you know, the ube is a really interesting taste as well. So it's just those flavors, the colors, and the way that it's presented is... People are gravitating towards it, and that's really exciting to see that it's not just about the alcohol itself, but it's about something that is inherently Filipino that we can kind of promote and get behind. That's what I'm really excited about.
Right. Talking about the products, the ube products, I know there's heaps. It became a trend in the past few years
where
everything turned purple.
Yep.
So, you know, the donuts, the ice cream, the cake. So what are your thoughts about it?
I've always seen, purple was always, for me, when I growing up, it was seen as a royal color. Like purple is a sign, sign of royalty and that. So seeing it in food and things like that, I was like, oh, this is a special event or a special occasion. So every time I saw purple in food, that's what I realized. And it kind of ties in well with the with them, you know, that trend of like, oh, let's see how we can make this different, because there aren't that many foods outside
that are purple.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, there's açaí, which is from Brazil. I think that's like violet or purple.
Mm.
I always find it really interesting that Aussies, like, they're almost blinded by the color. Mm-hmm. Like they can't believe. I tell them, look, the color's natural. It's not fake.
Right.
And so I wonder sometimes if they just see it as a color or a taste, because I see it as a taste, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, that's, I can mix that with mm-hmm. this and that. But all of the ube craze that's gone on, that happened at the same time as COVID. Is that right?
Yes.
Because I know there's an ube shortage in the world.
Everybody's gone crazy with ube during the pandemic. So during the lockdown, a lot of people are cooking at home.
Yes, yeah.
And this is, I think, the time when they discovered, or a lot of people reintroduced ube to the market and then just share amazing. Their own recipes of everything ube. The ube pandesal, the drinks, and name it. It's all
ube.
Yeah,
I was really blown away by the amount of ube cakes that I could see online. It's probably like one of the number one search terms when it comes to ube when I was looking at the SEO of it. It's great. I think it's great for ube. It's great for the Philippines.
Mm.
It's great for our cuisine because, you know, it might be a color initially, but eventually we'll get to explaining and clarifying how it really is. It's a taste.
Yes.
It's a specific taste within our gastronomy.
Yes. And apart from that, with all this new products coming up with ube, as you've mentioned earlier, it should be acknowledged that it's from the Philippines. It's a Filipino product. And I think it is really important for the government or for our agricultural sector to have this geographical indications for ube, for the Philippine ube.
So I'll just explain what geographical indications actually mean, or GI. It's to do with provenance, which is a fancy word for where something comes from.
Yeah.
And so I'm really encouraged that the Philippine government has engaged the French, who are the best at creating appellations, or in English would be geographical indications. So a geographical indication is as simple as a province. So there's 81 provinces in the Philippines. So that could be considered a geographical indication. And you mentioned before, Erinol, that, you know, there's Leyte,
yes,
ube. That could be considered a GI or geographical indication. But more importantly, not just within the Philippines, but owning it as from the Philippines. So that's why, you know, right now in the wine world, there's a big fight over the word Prosecco, which is a very Australian topic, which I feel comfortable talking about. So our Prosecco is mostly by Italian immigrants, many generations deep, and they make Australian Prosecco. Italians, they want the name back. They say Prosecco is only from Prosecco. And it goes to champagne as well. So for us, when we're talking about ube, it's not yam, it's not taro, it's Philippine ube. Yep. And then when we get down into the GI level, the geographical indication, the differences between ube, and I never knew that there's purple and white on the outside,
yeah,
or
a pinkish one
in the middle. And I'm pretty sure they all have different tastes. Yes. And that's amazing for the Philippines, for brand Philippines, and for tourism in Philippines, and for Philippine products. I think that's amazing that they're going down that route. Yeah, from a wine perspective.
Right.
Yeah. What do you think, Don? GIs, does it mean anything
it
to you, or
like
is that
it's
too
like
technical?
A copyright for the
it's a signature.
Yeah.
It's a quality of approval that you're getting the real deal. Because I know in America they're having chats around the adaptation of ube, but more as a color. But the American businesses are just putting in like a few percent and then just saying it's ube,
right?
Because it's purple or something like that.
Again, it's trying to highlight and promote the culture, promote the Philippines. The GIs to me would be where it comes from specifically. Like, you know, you were saying from Leyte would be the, like you mentioned, be the geographical indication, calling it out just promotes the Philippines even more. Like, oh, there's more to Philippines than just Manila. There's more to Philippines than just Cebu. You know, those right. what people see on the outside, tourists, foreigners outside of the Philippines, there's more to Philippines than just the major cities.
Yeah.
And talking about that with GI is why I see that's why I see that that would be important.
It's really important because it talks about this concept of terroir, which is, again, a very fancy French word for not just the soil, but the man's relationship to the soil. And so our soil is volcanic. That defines the Philippine Islands. But at the same time, the way that we as Filipinos have tended to the ground and then pulled it out of the ground and expressed it into our cuisine, into our gastronomy, that's terroir. Right, so it's a very broad term, but they've classified it in terms of geographical indications or appellations, and it's great. It's only good. It's only going to mean better things for the Philippines in planting the flag and saying this is Philippine ube. Mm-hmm. And actually, if you really like ube, there's differences. You should go to Zambales.
Yes.
You should go to Bohol.
Yeah.
You should go to Leyte. Yeah, should go to Pampanga. I think that'd be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to have like ube tour.
Ube tour.
Yeah. For your friends who want to travel and try ube. So they got to experience every province and every ube in each province, amazing. Right?
Food tour. Food
yeah.
trip.
Yeah.
That will be amazing. Yeah. And I know there's a big cultural significance in this. But have you been into one of the farms or have you met any of the producers of the ube liqueur who plant ube back in the Philippines?
Personally, I haven't.
Mm-hmm. No. I haven't as well in terms of where it's grown. But I have met the makers of this ube cream liqueur.
Right.
In the Philippines, in both in Manila and in Malaya Clan in their distillery. And the amazing thing about what they're doing is that you've got four founders, a Filipino, Kaleo, a Filipina, Junalin, and two Aussies, Tyson and Brendan, who are absolutely falling in love with Filipino culture. They live there. They're married into the Philippine culture, and they feel like the Philippines is like the Amazon to them. They're like kids in a candy store finding things like what's our lychee, rambutan, and they're expressing that as a gin, and then they've found ube, which was actually around the time that COVID started. So you were talking about the baking thing.
Right.
They essentially innovated and created so many different products, and ube cream liqueur was one of them. And what goes into complement ube as well. So you've got the coconut husk from Mindanao and the sugar cane from Negros. And I really like talking about sugar cane and Negros because our sugar cane is the one that's gone on to travel to India and Fiji and the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. Sugarcane isn't native to those countries. You can thank, was it Christopher Columbus? Took our sugarcane and took it over there.
Distributed the sugarcane, yeah.
And so they've created this product and it's uniquely Filipino. And that's what I really like to champion about these guys is that they're real people and it's real craftsmanship and it's real products. Like liqueurs out there right now have a lot of synthetic things inside them. This one doesn't. Mm-mm. Uniquely Filipino and really craft.
Yeah. But I was been on a video call with one of the creators, so Kalel, in his, I guess you'd call it man's den or his bar area. He has an ube in kind of like a jar, but it's just in some water. Mm-hmm. So he's growing it there first before planting it into the ground.
So he's got it in a cylinder.
Yeah.
Like how you would grow an avocado seed.
Mm.
And so you can see the roots traveling down. Ooh. And he's got a couple of fish inside as well.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's interesting.
It's from a particular place in the Philippines that escapes me right now. But but it's really cool to know that he is so passionate about, you know, ube and trying to find the flavors and trying to really take that and express it in this way, that is the ube cream liqueur.
And one of the things that I recall was that they're kind of like part of the slow food movement, which I think is quite strong in the Philippines. So one of the debates around ube right now is that there is a raw shortage in the world, right? So there's a lot of knockoffs in Europe and Australia and North America. Is it really ube, the base product that they're purchasing, the powder? And so it's with the slow food movement concept, do we industrialize it? And you've seen how it's planted at an all.
Right.
Can you industrialize this product, which is, or this, the way that it grows down into the earth? Like it's an interesting debate that's happening right now.
Right. But I guess one thing that we should also think about as Filipinos is how, not just how to promote ube, but also to protect it.
And make it sustainable.
Yes.
Yeah.
For our farmers and for everyone, for every Filipino.
Yeah.
I think that's why I wasn't allowed to bring it over, because, you know, Philippines is looking really strongly at ube and saying that, yes, this is ours. We're going to protect it. We're not going to lose the advantage with this crop.
Mm-hmm.
And keep it in that specific way. So, the makers are really championing farm to table, real ingredients as well. And you know, they even put it in the name, but they put ube in there because they're really championing the fact that it's Filipino.
To wrap up our conversation today, I know it's kind of quick and we have a lot of things to talk about ube. What will be your message to our kababayans, to everyone, also the Australians who are listening right now, who's interested to know more about purple yam or the Filipino ube?
I think for me, it's just another way for us to express how proud of our culture we are. You know, ube is just one of those ways. And food, to as an extension of that, is a way that we are being proud of our culture. So if you are proud of being Filipino, then try all the different ubes, you know, get out there and explore it for yourself and do your own research and eat all of the foods. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I'd agree. And for the Filipino Aussies and our Kababayans, own it. It's Philippine ube. It's not taro. It's not yam. It's more than a vegetable. It's the way that we express it in our food, and be proud and introduce it to your Aussie mates as Philippine ube or ube from the Philippines.
Yeah.
You know, there's, and to our Australians, go out there and try it. It's, you know, go to your local Filipino shop, try a halo halo if you've got one, or ube pandesal, or a cake.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or, you know, you can get a drink. So we've got ube cream liqueur. But just go out there and try it. I think that's the main point, because the initiatives like Melbourne Ube Festival, which is being promoted by the Philippine government through tourism and DTI, is what we need. And similar for us, when we've looked at our retail partners and our hospitality partners, we've been very deliberate in ensuring that the Filipino Australian community get to champion it first, because we interpret ube differently. And so just go out there and give it a shot. We've got a few places here in Sydney where you can go to, like Valore Cellars out in Western Sydney, in Parramatta, Cabramatta, Smithfield. But also at Melbourne Ube Festival, we've been invited, and we're going to have ube cream liqueur, and we're also going to have ube beer and ube lager from Encanto Brewery for Melbourne Ube Festival. So ube is more than just food. It can also be expressed into a drink, and, you know, we're really appreciative that we've been invited to come along.
Ayan. So sa mga kababayan natin, eto, I know natatakam na kayo sa dami mga napag-usapan namin at sa iba't iba pang mga impormasyon tungkol sa ube na aming ibinahagi sa inyo. But marami pa tayong pwedeng mapag-usapan at matalakay tungkol sa ube, sa produktong ito na sariling atin. Kaya naman, sabi nga ni Sigi, own it. Atin ito, sa mga Pilipino ito, at ipagmalaki natin ang sariling atin. At maraming maraming salamat sa pagsama sa akin ngayong araw, Sigi and Don.
Salamat.
Salamat. Thank you.